Chapter 14. Brittle air snapped through Drake's coat as he tumbled through the darkness. Death could only be moments away, but all he could think of was a name. Numar. A name he thought he'd left behind. How did Korval know it? Did Korval know what he had done?
"This need never emerge."
His father sounded distant and distracted as he led Drake from the dueling cages. For the first time Drake could remember, he looked his age, shoulders rounded by the decades, skin as grey as the Terran sky.
"I spoke to the Novator of House Numar. His grief is, well, you can imagine. But he knows you are both to blame. There's to be no trial. He has no desire to entertain the palace gossips."
"Then why must I leave?" The Duke's eyes were dead. He looked through his son rather than at him, waving Drake back into the house. Drake knew the answer. He was an embarrassment, and he was dangerous. His father was ashamed of him. Drake shook his head. He was losing himself. He was not on Terra. He was in the Blackstone Fortress, falling to his death. Why was he seeing his father? Without Korval to protect him, the Blackstone was scrambling his thoughts, throwing him into the past.
"Pain is a bond," said his father, looming over him.
The Duke was young again, only 50 years old, and Drake was a child of 6, clutching a bloody shin, battling tears.
"It locks you to the world, Yanis. Trust it. Even if everything else around you is a lie, pain is usually the truth."
Drake fixed his thought on the wound in his shoulder. It was a bright ember of hurt. He had been trying to ignore it, but now, remembering his father's advice, he embraced it, savouring the pulse-pounding agony of torn muscle and burnt skin. It worked. Terror faded, leaving him alone in the darkness, listening to his coat flutter as he fell. He must have been falling for several minutes without hitting anything. How was that possible? The Blackstone was playing with him. He strained his neck, looking for a fixed point or a light source or anything he could use to orientate himself. There was nothing, so he made his own light. He grabbed a flare from his belt and hurled it. The explosion was bright enough for a few seconds to drive back the darkness. Drake laughed at the absurdity of what it revealed. He was falling past the fractured hull of a vast Imperial starship, an ancient ironclad, its adamantium plate scorched and warped by centuries of warp travel, its bones picked clean by legions of salvage crews and void creatures. A forgotten monster of the deep, balanced end-on, skewered and hung by the Blackstone Fortress. What kind of chamber could contain such a Goliath? Even on the Blackstone, this seemed impossible. The ship's hull was mostly burned away, trailing shattered bulkheads and rusting city-sized plasma drives. The design was archaic, even by Imperial Navy standards. Why was it here? How had it come to die inside the Blackstone? Huge as it was, it looked like a morsel of food, rotting slowly in the gut of an ever greater Leviathan. No, not rotting, Drake realized. Being digested. Whole decks were morphing and reforming, becoming the same gunpowder-grey planes as the rest of the fortress. The Blackstone was subsuming it, turning its companionways into impossible angles and its gunnery decks into baffling abstract patterns. The flare died away, sinking Drake back into darkness. But now he knew it was there, he could sense the vast hulk he was falling past. A monumental pool of greater darkness watching him fall. He reached for the grappling hooks at his belt and attached a cable. Then he looped the cable in a loose knot and attached it to his munitions belt, adjusting the settings before hurling another flare and lighting up the wrecked ship a second time. It blazed from the darkness like a divine vision, haloed by broken spires. Drake pulled a device from beneath his coat. It looked like a small handheld crossbow, and he used it to fire a grappling hook across the void towards the distant hulk. There was a dull clang as the hook latched onto something. Drake adjusted the cable tension, feeding it through loops in his belt, and his fall turned into a swing, a gentle parabola that sent him gliding towards the ironclad, a tiny point of movement soaring beneath its unimaginable bulk. However elegant his approach, Drake had no doubt about what would happen if he crashed into the fuselage at this speed. The flare had almost burned out as Drake flew towards the shattered remnants of an observation gallery. As the light failed, he singled out a broken joist and fired his second grappling hook at a 90-degree angle to the first, redirecting its swing and draining its momentum as he glided towards a loading hatch. The door was gone, creating a gaping, toothless mouth that opened onto a lightless pit. The flare died as Drake's cable hurled him through the hatch. He crashed into something hard, but it collapsed under his weight, and he rolled painfully across the rubble-strewn floor, his arms wrapped around his head and his knees tucked up to his chest. Drake came to a halt, surprised to find that he was still alive. There was blood flowing from a cut over his eye and from the gunshot wound in his shoulder, but as he patted down his limbs, he found the rest of him was intact. He sat there, in the pitch dark, taking stock of what had just happened. Corval had meant to kill him. He shook his head, dazed at the betrayal. There was no one in the group he had trusted more. Corval alone had seemed a man of honour. "Numa," whispered Drake, his voice echoing through the blackness. What did Corval know? Drake climbed to his feet and gingerly touched the wound in his shoulder. It was clean, at least. He moved his arm. The shoulder joint still seemed to work. The blast had seared through muscle but left the bones intact. It was agonizing to move it, but possible. He took some painkillers from his munitions belt and injected them directly into the muscle. Then he wrapped a bandage around the wound, tying it as tightly as he could. When he had finished tending the wound, Drake triggered the lumen on his pistol and pointed it ahead of him. It flashed over the bulkheads of a burnt-out companionway. There were a few scraps of machinery lying on the deck plating, but no sign of movement. He edged forwards, treading carefully in case the floor gave way. Because the iron club was upended, he was actually walking along the wall, and every few feet he had to step over ventilation shafts or around doorways. As he walked, he tried to contact Isola through the vox bead in his collar. As he expected, the only response was a squall of feedback. Whatever the Blackstone was made of, it played havoc with the vox networks. How was he going to get back to the others? Without Thaddeus, he had no way of reaching the Oscurus vault. And without Corval, he had no way of keeping sane. As soon as he had that thought, his mind began to slip. It was as though the Blackstone felt his doubt and pounced on it.
"Without your eyes, you must come alive to the darkness," said his father, speaking from somewhere up ahead. Drake was 11. Already he had mastered countless training exercises, but none of them had prepared him for this. The Dark Lantern. His father had never mentioned it until that very morning, giving him no time to prepare. He stopped to listen. He could hear the old Duke up ahead, breathing lightly, preparing to strike. He could hear the Dark Lantern's shutter rattling against its casing. It was a beautiful antique, like everything else in the Drake Villa, an ornate tube of wrought iron, clad in delicate filigree and housing a crystal glow globe. It was designed in such a way that, when the shutter was closed, no trace of light escaped, plunging the training hall into darkness. Drake remembered everything his father had taught him, keeping his stance relaxed, knees slightly bent, chin raised, rapier held loosely.
The shutter clanged open, and the light blinded him. His father lunged, the rapier heading for Drake's face. Drake closed the strike, parried and disengaged, stepping back into the on-guard position. The shutter clanged, and he was in darkness again.
"You move like a drunk," growled his father.
The light flashed again, and Drake leapt to defend himself. But the training hall was gone. He was back in the ironclad, his pistol's lumen shimmering over piles of rusted cogitators and twisted armour plating. The memory had been so clear, but Drake had not thought of that day for decades. As he edged down the crooked companionway, he recalled how proud he had been. His father was not one for compliments, but Drake had known, at the age of 11, he was being challenged in a way that his sister, who was 14, had never been. His father did not need to praise Drake. He was rushing through every training regime his father could devise, handling them with an ease that astounded his peers. He had mastered disciplines that the other young lordlings had never even heard of. The companionway came to an end at a circular bulkhead door. It was dented and scorched, but when Drake punched the controls, it whooshed open, and he crawled into the next chamber, a cargo hold. There was a mountain of storage crates heaped against the wall that was now the floor, and several doorways leading off in different directions.
"Which way now?" muttered Drake. "What's the plan, Janus?"
He recalled something the Kroot had said.
"The Blackstone always has a plan."
At the time, he had dismissed it at exactly the kind of gnomic gibberish spouted by all Blackstone devotees, but now he was starting to doubt things he had previously been so sure about. He had been as sure of Korval as he was doubtful of Grek. He'd been wrong about Korval. Perhaps he was wrong about Grek, too.
"Do you have a plan?"
he wondered, aloud, his voice bouncing round the cavernous chamber. He crossed to the other side of the room. There was a whole section of the wall that was more Blackstone than Voidship. The bulkhead had become a fan of tessellating hexes, a honeycomb of the dull slate-grey substance that made up the rest of the Blackstone.
"I could wander here for years," he said, pressing his hand against the cold, angular shapes. "And I'm already talking to myself. What if you do have a plan? How would I see it?"
On a whim, he clicked off the lumen and let the darkness flood over him.
"Honour is everything," said his father.
The old Duke's gravelly tones came somewhere from Drake's left, down towards the pile of crates. Drake should have felt confused or even disturbed. His father was on the other side of the galaxy, if he was even still alive. And yet, here on the Blackstone, it seemed almost natural to step from one age to another.
"Honour,"
he replied, drawing his rapier and stepping towards the voice.
"Without your name, you are nothing. Just another face in the mob. And without honour, you are not worthy of your name."
The dark lantern rattled as the Duke flipped the shutter open. He attacked, low, aiming for Drake's side. Again, Drake was ready, parrying, disengaging and countering with a graceful overhand slash. This time, he kept his position, never slouching or forgetting his stance, as the blade came around towards his target. There was a clatter of blades. His father parried, but Drake saw surprise in his eyes. He had not anticipated such a fast return.
"Close your mouth, boy. You look like one of the hounds."
The 11-year-old Drake felt a rush of pride. His mouth was already closed. He had surprised his father so much that the old Duke could not think of a genuine criticism. He pressed on into the darkness, following the sound of his father's breathing. It was heavier now and less regular. Drake triggered the lumen. It flashed across the doorway and revealed another companionway, wider than the last one.
"This way?" he whispered. "Is that it?"
Part of him laughed at the absurdity of thinking the Blackstone could lead him. How could a space station lead him? How could it have a plan? Drake shrugged. He was lost. And alone. He could sit here and wait to die. Or try something. He clicked off the lumen again. His eyes were starting to adjust to the dark now. He could see some of the training hall, dueling cages and sparring servitors hanging ominously around him like partners in a dance. His father was a few feet away. He could not see him clearly, but he saw enough to step towards him. Though he was only 11, Drake was almost as tall as his father, and the years of training had clad his body in strong, lean muscle. There was a flash of light as the Duke uncovered the lantern, but this time he threw a feint. Drake tried to parry a strike that was not there. He barely had time to sidestep the true thrust. There was a popping sound as his sparring suit ripped across the chest. He felt a hot splash of pain. He wanted to cry out, "Father, you have cut me!" But he held his tongue. An outburst like that would only earn him a deeper wound. The shutter clattered down. Drake flicked his lumen back on and saw where his memories had led him. He was in a chamber that bore no resemblance at all to the insides of a void ship. A smooth-sided triangular prism, a few hundred feet long, and leading onto a portal that blazed with cold blue light. Drake hesitated, shocked. He looked back the way he had come. Behind him was the ironclad. Ahead was the Blackstone. The memory of his training, forgotten until this moment, had led him back into the fortress. He shook his head. He was thinking like a devotee. This might just be a part of the ironclad that the Blackstone had transformed more completely than the others. There was no guarantee he had returned to the heart of the vessel. He strode on down the chamber and stepped through the opening at the far end, shielding his face as the light washed over him.